The presidential motorcade has just passed through heavy crowds in downtown Dallas and was circling through the fringes of the business district when three shots suddenly rang out.
Destroying the media lies and dismantling the narratives. One story at a time. It's the Adrian Slade Show.
If I was to ask you, if I was to quiz you, if I was to pull you aside and say, okay, all right, pop quiz, how do you think the week's going to start? Bing, 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 bing. That's right. With a Trump tweet. That's right. It's going to start with an insane tweet by Trump that's going to, one, piss off the liberal media. Two, make the Never Trumpers go insane. Three, suck up all of the airtime. In fact, it's going to make me talk about it, and I don't even really care, but that's what we're doing. But the only reason why I'm talking about it is because, and I'm Adrian Slade, thanks for tuning in. It's actually kind of funny because I'm seeing just this repeated cycle where Donald Trump posts a tweet, and whether it's nonsense, whether it's something profound, whether it's something just really just off the reservation, usually you have to ask yourself when you see the tweet, first you have to ask yourself, what in God's name was he doing? You know, I saw one person turn the Mika Brzezinski tweets. There was like a 5-minute lapse. You know, he had the first part of his statement and he didn't finish it. And then he came around 5 minutes later and somebody was like a reporter. It was one of those blue check mark Twitter people. And they were like, why was it 5 minutes before you finished up your statement? Well, it's probably because he was wiping. It's probably because he was sitting on the toilet and he, you know, he hadn't finished taking care of whatever business he did. Because I'm sure he's sitting in the Oval Orifice bathroom and he's just going to town. You know, he's got his newspaper out. He's got Fox News on the TV, and he goes in the bathroom and decides, you know what, I'm going to just go ahead and drop a couple bombs here, and then actually drop some bombs on Twitter at the same time. While I'm dropping a couple kids off, you know, dropping a couple Cleveland Browns off at the Super Bowl. And so what ends up happening is he ends up tweaking the media inside and out, and I'm not a Trump guy. You know this about me. But what I do think is funny is what the reactions are. Because what you have to do is when this happens, you have to start getting into this frame of mind. You have to start asking yourself, what is happening in the news today? What is very profound? What is going on that is going to be clouded? What is going to be sucked out of the room? What is going to be overshadowed? Or as one of my favorite bands, Soundgarden, what is going to be outshined by this stupid tweet today? Because last week, when the whole Mika Brzezinski tweets came out, you know, when he was ripping on her being bloody and not allowing her into his party or whatever, it was the fact that he deregulated energy regulations. It's the fact that Kate's Law went in. Now, I want to get into a little bit of what Justin Amash did because I understand why he voted the way he did, and he has been taking some serious heat, but he's a purist, and we should long for some purity because we don't have any of that. But anyways, getting back to the Trump tweets, the thing about it is we're witnessing this undercover policy being enacted while he throws out some tweets, some bombs. You know, he throws out a little smoke bomb here and then goes along and does what he does. I just wish he was doing some Justin Amash-style purity while he throws out some of these bombs. You know, I mean, let's just throw a bomb out. Why don't you throw a tweet about CNN? Why don't you get on, you know, Mr. Acosta out there and talk about his horrible, you know, looks or something, and then we can turn around and just repeal the crap out of Obamacare. Just rip it right on out, scabs and all. But we get this tweet on Sunday afternoon, of Donald Trump posting a video clip of him beating CNN in a wrestling ring and him tackling the CNN logo to the ground with his little fake news. And you get the reactions from both sides. You get the Democrats. Oh my gosh, he's attacking the First Amendment of, you know, the CNN and the First Amendment, you know, freedom of the press. And they're going on their self-righteousness. But you know what? You guys have killed your credibility. You guys have spent the last couple decades going on and on about how you want to help your side. You have chosen a side. You have saddled up to the Democrats, and in fact, you have saddled up to the progressives, not even the JFK Democrats. You have done this back when you could pretend to be objective, back when it was all good night and good luck, or when it was courage. You know, all that stuff, you used to be able to pretend back when there was three networks, and you could just fool us into thinking you were objective. And then when you had to fill up the remaining 23 hours, well, then it became even more apparent. And then when you actually had competition from the right, you know, first it was with AM radio, and then it was with Fox News, even though they're pretty daggone moderate. Well, then you came out even more. And what's really telling, and the Democrats should really look into this, what's really telling is the fact that you have to ask yourself, how did the ideology of conservatism resurrect a dying technology such as AM radio that crackles when lightning strikes? AM radio, whose signal, even though can be heard from miles away, has such horrible clarity that FM should have put it out of business. But what happened was AM radio was left to die. And especially when it had to cover both sides. Once they removed the fairness doctrine and they opened up, you know, they got rid of that circus and they allowed dissenting opinion to not have to be balanced with an immediate response from the other side, all of a sudden they resurrected a technology that was dying. That should say something. That should say something about the ideology. That should say something that people are clamoring to hear something that encompasses that. And so the Democrats and the news media, I mean, CNN themselves, you have shown yourselves to be biased. And then Project Veritas videos coming out showing your hatred for the American voter, showing that you are pushing a false story that you know is false and that you're continuing to do so because you enjoy the ratings you're getting out of it. You show that you're fraudulent. And in a few minutes, we're going to get into how Andrew Kaczynski and CNN sharded all over themselves going after the Reddit user who actually created the wrestling gift that Donald Trump tweeted out. And so why should we even follow what you say? Why should we give you the consideration that you should have an argument for freedom of the press, because you don't have any press? You're not the press. You're entertainment. Now, I still believe in freedom of the press, and I think we should have that. That doesn't mean I think Donald Trump should attack the press, but he should defend himself because he's being attacked daily. I think he should use Twitter to go around the press. I think that should be his bullhorn press secretary bulletin statements. Now, is it presidential? Heck, we want to talk about being presidential. We can talk about that. We can talk about how the death of being presidential happened when Barack Obama was hanging out with a lady with green lips and a bathtub full of Cheerios and Fruit Loops. We can talk about that. We can talk about the fact that he goes on late night TV all the time back in the day. So don't, you know, sit there and talk about being presidential when Barack Obama killed that. So, but then on the other side, you've got the Never Trumpers. You know, you've got the neocons like the Bill Kristols and the Rick Wilsons who are going on about, well, you know, I can't believe this guy. He's so unconstitutional and blah, 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 the click-servatives. And, you know, I agree with some of their statements because I do agree that he needs to adhere more to the Constitution. He needs to stop being so Teddy Roosevelt bull moose party-ish. But at the same time, what is it that they really want? They will never take any sort of accidental tripping and collapsing into conservatism to heart. They won't give him the benefit of the doubt. They won't praise him when he accidentally does it. Because they wanted Marco Rubio. They wanted somebody that will give them the neocon platform. Someone that will go in and destroy Syria. You know, I mean, they're getting a little bit of that with Donald Trump. I mean, Hillary, we can get into that in a little bit. The little story about Hillary calling Donald Trump, praising him about what he did in Syria. But what we're getting at is we have to look at things objectively, and we have to look at the fact that what Donald Trump did is just kind of humorous. And that's about it. Don't read so far into this. Don't read into this meme and this video of him wrestling CNN and trying to find this bigger picture of an unpresidential act and going after the press and the freedom of the press and the Constitution and all this crap, when it was simply a jab, a funny jab. We can laugh and chuckle. We shouldn't encourage it, but you know what? He's going to do it, and he has a sense of humor, like it or not, but you know what? Let's laugh about it. And let's get along with our day and then look for the news stories that are going under the radar that he's doing these little jabs and he's throwing these little bombs out to cover up. And those are the things that we need to be concerned about because they're either going to be really good or really concerning. Back in a second.
This is Adrian Slade.
The Adrian Slade Broadcast.
So now, while the media was blasting Donald Trump for his tweet last week, basically slamming Morning Joe and co-host Mika Brzezinski for her, I guess, plastic surgery fail, her botched plastic surgery, and how she's not going to be allowed to take part in the Mar-a-Lago reindeer games because she looked like Jack Nicholson in the Batman, you know, the Joker with her botched bleeding plastic surgery, you know, much like they did this week with the CNN tweet being wrestled to the ground. A lot of things came through. The energy regulations that Donald Trump stripped out of, you know, out of the EPA, those things came through without any sort of media scrutiny, which was pretty amazing. But then there was also Kate's Law. And Kate's Law is something that we've been pushing for a while now, because what we want to do is we want to be sure that when somebody is caught and found to be, you know, an illegal alien, that they're deported, that they're taken out of here, and that we don't have them show back up 8 times and able to just pick up a gun and shoot an innocent woman, a beautiful woman in her prime, walking with her father on a pier somewhere. But interestingly, and I haven't read the full wording of the law, but interestingly, there was one Republican who voted against it, and that was Justin Amash. And he caught all types of grief over this. And in doing so, he decided to go on Facebook to explain himself. And let me read to you what he said about this situation. He said, "I voted no on H.R. 3003, No Sanctuary for Criminals Act. This bill increases the Department of Homeland Security's, or DHS's, detention of suspected illegal aliens, defunds sanctuary cities, and limits the ability of state and local governments to direct their law enforcement resources. In doing so, the bill violates at least 5 constitutional amendments. The bill violates the 10th Amendment by prohibiting any state or locality from doing anything which would restrict the ability of their law enforcement officers to assist federal immigration enforcement, giving state and local governments legal immunity for providing such assistance and limiting transfers of aliens to sanctuary cities for criminal prosecution. I have voted in the past to defund law enforcement grants to sanctuary cities that prohibit information sharing between their law enforcement and federal immigration officials, including H.R. 3009 in the 114th Congress. But this bill also prohibits any actions or policies that may restrict local law enforcement's cooperation with or assistance to federal immigration enforcement. This goes far beyond just facilitating the exchange of information that local law enforcement may already come across in the course of their own activities. This bill unconstitutionally enables the federal government to coerce states into helping with actual enforcement of immigration laws. Plus, it gives immunity to states for assisting with immigration enforcement, and it affirmatively punishes states for noncompliance. Congress has no authority to direct state and local officials in this way. Our Constitution establishes a system of dual federalism. In Congress, the laws we make are to be executed by federal officials. We may not commandeer non-federal officials. The bill violates the Fourth Amendment's prohibition on unreasonable seizures and the Fifth Amendment's due process requirements by increasing DHS's use of and authority for warrantless arrest and detention of suspected illegal aliens. As their text makes clear, the Fourth and Fifth Amendments apply explicitly to all people and persons within the United States. The Constitution uses the word citizen in other provisions whenever that word is intended. This interpretation of the Constitution's applicability is shared by the U.S. Supreme Court, including among the conservative justices. The bill violates the 11th Amendment, which largely prohibits Congress from unilaterally permitting lawsuits against states by allowing the victims of crimes committed by an illegal alien to sue a state that declines to fulfill a request from federal government to detain the alien. Lastly, the bill violates the First Amendment by likely interfering with the ability of a state and local official and other individuals to make statements regarding immigration enforcement policies and priorities. I support securing the borders, and I have voted to defund sanctuary cities, but I swore an oath to support and defend the Constitution, even when it means I must oppose bills aimed at policy goals I support. It passed 228-195. That's Justin Amash's statement on why he voted against Kate's law. Interestingly, I get some of his points. And what's funny is one of the statements that somebody blasted him online with is they said, well, why don't you just let the Supreme Court hash this all out? He fired back and said, well, I'm elected to uphold the Constitution, so it should start with me. But then if it gets past me, well, then the Supreme Court can then make a ruling on it. So, and I get that too. And I understand, you know, if an illegal is rolling around within the wall, the borders of the United States, within a state, within a locality, they're going down the street. You don't know if they're illegal. You have no way of knowing. And if they're not driving around with a car, with a broken taillight, or running a stop sign, or if they haven't done something that's going to provide some sort of probable cause, well, then how do you know that you can stop them and say, hey, are you legal or not? How do you know? What gives you the probable cause? Not only that, where are the lines drawn between when the federal government can step over into what the state can do? So I get what Justin Amash was talking about. And we need to have objectivity. We need to have that purity within what is the Constitution requiring of us. And we need to look at it and say, hey, can we rewrite this law so that it does focus on a constitutional basis? He's not doing it because he's pro-illegal immigrant. He's not doing it because he's trying to throw Kate Steinle and all them under the bus. He's doing it because he's trying to uphold the Constitution. And that's what we should be looking at all times. And that's why we should be crafting, even if Ted Cruz helped craft this legislation, even if those involved, Grassley and what have you, even if they were involved with the crafting of the wording of this document, it still doesn't make it constitutional. We need to look at it through the lens of the Constitution all the way through, at every detail. And we need to look at it through federalism, because states' rights cannot be overstepped by the federal government. It's not top-down, just like J.D. Rucker from the Federalist Party said on our interview show. It's always from the individual at the top, and then it trickles down from the municipality to the state, and at the bottom is the federal government. So I get why Justin Amash did that. I just wanted to share that with you just in case you were wondering, why the heck did he vote against this? Because from a, you know, just from an outside view, you look at it and go, God, what the heck is he thinking? But then when you read his statement, I get it. So we got more on the other side of the break. Keep it locked in here.
This is Adrian Slade.
The Adrian Slade Broadcast.
With the real headlines that were happening under the radar that the media was overlooking, Kate's Law going through, that Justin Amash had his reasons for voting against, and with the energy regulations that were being ripped out of the EPA, Donald Trump did it again with his little wrestling match GIF that he tweeted. And you know, a lot of people are going on, he should be doing his job. He shouldn't be on Twitter. I mean, come on. It takes 30 seconds to tweet a tweet? I mean, I'm sure, like I said, he was probably in the bathroom dropping off a couple, you know, dropping a deuce and doing a little tweet and back to his business. That doesn't mean I'm defending him. That doesn't mean I'm saying what he did is presidential. Like I said, you know, hanging out on YouTube with a lady with green lips in a bathtub full of Fruit Loops is equally as presidential as that. And that's not the first time that we've gone down the hill of, you know, destroying the dignity of the presidential office. I mean, back in 1829, Andrew Jackson decided to have a big old frat party throwdown that almost destroyed the White House. So this is nothing new. But what's interesting is the development that happened with CNN. CNN could have let this thing die and would have been the victim and could have just played the victim role. But no. Who's more petulant in this situation? We all know Donald Trump has got some serious thin skin. I mean, look what he did to Carly Fiorina in the primaries when he ripped on her looks. All right, so we know Donald Trump cannot take criticism whatsoever. Love him or hate him, the guy's got some thin skin. He punches back is what, you know, his supporters say. But regardless, he's got some thin skin. But CNN had to take it so far that they had to go dig up the creator of the freaking video. And then they had to extort him. They had to threaten to reveal his identity so that they could make him issue an apology, so that they can one-up the president. That's how much hatred they have for Donald Trump. And it's an unhealthy hatred. And I really think it's one of those things, it's the same reason why Kathy Griffin's going to get up there and hold his bloody head up like she's an ISIS fighter. It's the same reason why you're going to have Madonna get up there on stage and yell out that she's going to blow up the White House. It's the same reason why you're going to have them rip on Mike Pence, you know, at the Hamilton musical. Same reason why they're doing the musical in the park about Shakespeare, and they're going to pretend it's about, it's not about Donald Trump, although Shakespeare's got an orange comb over. You know, it's because they're trying to have those moments similar to the award shows where they can kind of get kudos from their own side. Yeah, you go! You showed them! Go ahead! Look what you did to the president! They want that backslapping. They want that congratulatory kudos. And so you're going to have CNN spend their resources, their money, their time, their energy to go find some guy who's hanging out in mama's basement making GIFs and memes. I mean, I can make a meme on my app, on my phone. That doesn't make me a threat. The guy takes a video. I mean, does anyone remember? Donald Trump, our president, used to wrestle in the WWE. He made cameos in the WWE. Heck, he was on the freaking Home Alone movie. I mean, does anyone not remember? We have a reality TV president. So somebody took a video of him when he was on a WWE WrestleMania clip and put the CNN logo on there and put it out there. It's not as though that was inciting some gunman to show up at a baseball park and take out a whole group of journalists and reporters. No, that wasn't what he was doing, okay? Let's not get that mixed up here, okay? New York Times. He wasn't writing a little piece saying, hey, you know, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you can go down to the baseball field where the Republican GOP baseball charity team is practicing, and they're going to be completely unarmed. Hint, hint. None of that was happening. It was just a guy having fun, making a little gift. Now, I'm not trying to explain away that the president used it, but who's more petulant here? That CNN would spend the time and resources to go look for this guy? And then, what's more amazing is the fact that he actually, from what I understand, this is what has been told online. Now, you take it with a grain of salt. That's what I'm doing. But there is an underbelly. There is a group of people that congregate online and share information through Reddit and even further through the 4chan, 8chan boards because they get no type of attention through traditional media because we are basically shut out by the liberal media, that this is one of the only vehicles that they have to share this information. But they do this to get this information around. They have put information out that CNN contacted him, that it wasn't some, you know, I feel guilty, I'm going to go out of my way to contact CNN and say I'm sorry. That CNN had the resources to contact this guy, that they located him. And it wasn't a simple, I'm going to go on Reddit and message him. Basically, from what I've seen on a 4chan post, that CNN, because of its relationship to its owner, Time Warner, and remember, Time Warner is an internet service provider, that apparently Time Warner was able to look up through its internet service providing capabilities, was able to locate the actual personal identification of the user profile. I don't want to say his actual user profile, but it's Han A-hole Solo. But his actual identity was given to CNN, and Andrew Kaczynski, he's a former BuzzFeed writer. I call him the extorter in chief. He decided to make contact to the gentleman who made this GIF and basically kind of tell him, hey, you better issue an apology or we're going to put your information out there for the world to see so that now you can be the subject to the same individuals that show up at the Berkeley college campus and decide to, you know, destroy the Starbucks and maybe light a few limos on fire. And so CNN put this guy in a position to where they forced him to apologize. And he did. He went on Reddit and he apologized. And of course, they went online to say, oh, well, this guy is a huge racist. Look at his other post. He's a big time racist. So he deserves it. The kicker was when CNN put this in an article explaining this whole thing, they said CNN is not punishing the user from Reddit because he is a private citizen who has issued an extensive statement of apology and showed his remorse by saying he has taken down all his offending posts because he said he is not going to repeat this ugly behavior on social media again. And then they followed it up with, CNN reserves the right to publish his identity should any of that change. So are they going to blackmail him from here on out? They're going to hold his feet to the fire on that? We can't have news agencies extorting people. And this is nothing new to Andrew Kaczynski. Do you remember Justine Sasso? I think that's her name. She was the one who was, you know, taking a little trip over to South Africa. And she was making a joke on Twitter. Oh, yeah, you don't get AIDS when you're over there. And then she tweeted back, oh, don't worry, white people don't get AIDS. Turned her phone off. And by the time she made it over there, she was destroyed online. She lost her job, all because this gentleman, Mr. Nice Guy, you know, there was a person who worked for the Rubio campaign. I'm not going to mention her name, but she was like defending him online saying, oh, well, you know, he's a nice guy. You know, he's not such a bad person. Oh, yeah. This nice guy decided to make a whole BuzzFeed news story about this person's tweet, and she lost her job. She was destroyed in the press. She was destroyed at home. So, same gentleman basically put this guy up against the wall and said, hey, in the news article, said, we reserve the right to release this guy's identity if anything changes and he decides to retract his apology or not issue one. So you tell me, is that a threat or not? And in even more developing news was Chris Cuomo actually had a tweet that he put out and then deleted immediately. And it said, should CNN reveal the name of Reddit user who made Trump wrestling video? Had a lot of bigoted and hateful material on his page and website. And then he spent the rest of the afternoon just going out and trying to defend his position. And so now, to every great story, there's always a twist. And the twist here is that CNN and Andrew Kaczynski got the wrong guy. You can't make this up. I'm serious. They outed and coerced and extorted the wrong guy. The guy they were looking for didn't even make the GIF. Not only that, on the 4th of July, they actually put a quote out in another completely unrelated article that stated Abraham Lincoln said, "Let the people know the facts and the country will be safe," which Abraham Lincoln never said. You know, they did this as a way to kind of jab at Donald Trump. But again, they failed there too because Abraham Lincoln never said it. So they outed the wrong guy. Oh, CNN, what a failure you are. So that's the big twist right there. Just making a guy apologize, claiming he's the guy that made this wrestling gift, come to find out he's not even the guy who made it. So CNN already is on the ropes with the Project Veritas videos. I mean, check some of these videos out.
Carr doesn't have a very high opinion of CNN's audience either.
Would it be fair to question the... I don't want to be rude here. Be careful how I put it. You're at least some percentage Irish Scottish. Would it be fair to question the intellect of the American voter?
Oh, no, they're stupid shit.
His harsh words didn't stop there.
I'm James O'Keefe with Project Veritas. CNN's producer Jimmy Carr cannot hide his distaste for White House counselor Kellyanne Conway.
Now, and of course, the thing that pisses the White House off so much, because we actually had that awful woman, Kellyanne Conway, you know, the blonde.
Who's sorry,
Kellyanne Conway?
What's she look like? Is she the one with
she
the...
looks like Shannon Bishop. She looks like Shannon Bishop.
Constantly, like, Russia this, Russia that.
Because it's ratings? Our ratings are incredible right now.
But honestly, you'd think the whole Russia is just like bullshit.
Could be bullshit. I mean, it's mostly bullshit right now. Like, we don't have any big giant proof.
I just feel like they don't really have it, but they want to keep digging.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the president is probably right to say, like, look.
The Russian thing is just a big nothing burger.
Really?
So it's safe to assume that we may not see much more of CNN. Basically, they need a complete overhaul, or they need to basically become a vacant spot on the cable dial. And you know what? I wouldn't lose any sleep over that myself. Maybe this is a blessing in disguise. But here's the thing. Until we start looking at things objectively, until the hatred decides to be released, and we start to go, you know what? Let's not just hate somebody because we didn't win. Let's start to look at things objectively. What is best for the nation? What is best for we as a citizenry moving forward? These institutions are going to fall because their sole motivation is hatred. Their sole, you know, everything that is within them is basically hatred. And so they act upon hatred, they make rash decisions, and they do stupid stuff like tracking down a Reddit user and burning their credibility. Back in a second.
This is Adrian Slade.
Adrian Slade broadcast.
CNN, having proved themselves to be the angry kid, you know, they're like that angry kid that's just blind with anger. You know, the one that's like, you're like picking at him, and then gets all mad that he picks up a baseball and he throws it your way with all its might and strength, and he gets so mad that he misses and he ends up breaking the window of the neighbor next door, and the neighbor comes running out all mad, and you're like, that's how ridiculous they are. They're misquoting Abraham Lincoln in an attempt to smack Trump, and they're, you know, coercing people into revealing themselves and or apologizing for things, but then coming to find out that they got the wrong guy. It's just, it's ridiculous. But while all of that is going on, and we're sucked into this vortex where the news is completely engulfed in this, and we're missing the intercontinental missile test by North Korea on Independence Day. You know, they're having their own 4th of July celebration as they're firing missiles into the, you know, into the Pacific Ocean. We're missing the other trolling event that's happening, which is actually kind of humorous to me. You know, the Democrat Party, when we look at what's coming up down the road, the Democrat Party has all but whittled out any bit of moderation that has resided within its ranks. I mean, the Joe Lieberman, Jim Webbs of the party, they've been shoved out the door. They've been pushed out the door like an annoying Jehovah's Witness, you know, incessantly knocking on the door. You open the door and you're like pushing them out. And you're like, all right, I got this. Yeah, no, you can go away. You're done. It's either that or they've gotten that death stare. You know, they've just given up and left because they've gotten the death stare because they've overstayed their welcome when the party that they're at is clearly over with. You're like, okay, yeah, party's done. You can go ahead and leave now. We're just the crew that's here. Yeah, we're going to clean up and you guys go home now. Now that their political party has been boiled down into a creamy, concentrated reduction of vile agenda items of, you know, infanticide and celebrated corruption, they've got to be defeated at every possible level. And that means election defeats at the municipal level, at the state level, the national level. These are all extremely crucial. And the fight's going to be a difficult one because the media is going to prop up their darlings. They're going to prop up any attempt that they can at anybody that is going to toe the line that they like. They're going to even attempt to take old man Clevens, you know, Billy Madison, the guy that's like, oh, battle ox, listen to me. I think there's another flaming bag of poop on the porch. They're going to make that guy into the Fonz. You know, if he's a socialist, they're going to make that the cool guy. The 90-year-old guy in his crusty underwear, somehow they're going to make him cool. They're going to try to make him hip. You know, it's like that Kids in the Hall skit. He's hip. He's cool. He's 45. You know, I don't understand how they do that with Bernie Sanders, but they're trying to also do that with Elizabeth Warren. And Chief Socialist Running Mouth, also known as Focahontas, Senator Elizabeth Warren, she's got her upcoming re-election, and the media is going to try to make her cool. You know, she's against the grain because she's against Wall Street and big banks and big business. You know, her upcoming campaign, we're going to be served loads and loads of unhealthy plates of cold omelets with crab meat. You know, that's from her cookbook, Pow Wow Chow, her plagiarized Native American cookbook that she penned in order to legitimize her supposed indigenous heritage. You know, she's supposedly 1/16th Cherokee. I mean, these people have no soul. She basically lied to get into Harvard, claimed she's like 1/16th Native American, and then she plagiarized a freaking cookbook and named it Pow Wow Chow just so she could get into Harvard. They have no soul. These people should be easily beaten. So, you know, while she may not be flipping corn cakes like she did with her foreclosed properties that she went out there and flipped. Yeah, go look that up. She'll be pandering hypocritical rebukes of crony corruption. You know, there's evil corporatists out there. Her campaign isn't going to be without a circus of its own, with or without her self-scalping. So Senator Warren is facing an interesting challenger. It's actually kind of an interesting situation here. V.A. Shiva, he's an immigrant from India touting the American dream. And he's actually got a good platform. You should look up his website. But he's touting the American dream as the success to his family. And he's taken on Ms. Warren headdress. And, you know, he immigrated to America. His family did in 1970 when he was 7 years old. He's a firm believer in the founding of the nation and the founding fathers. And he's on a mission to debunk the hijacked Indian heritage. And on his website, he clearly states, defeat fake Indian Ms. Elizabeth Warren. Not only that, he attacks her identifier as Indian because he's actually from India, which makes it all the more humorous. And in his quest to destroy Ms. Elizabeth Warren's Native Americanism, he began raising funds to run against her on the fake Indian narrative with the defeat hashtag fake Indian Elizabeth Warren mantra. And then, to take things even further, he decided to send her a freaking DNA test paid for by Mr. Shiva. And he did so on her birthday. And he sent it to her address. Then he posted the Amazon shipping details, the order summary, the tracking. It's amazing. He tweeted it out and said, I'm deeply saddened that Elizabeth Warren refused my thoughtful gift wrap birthday gift. The 23andMe DNA test kit. Most unfortunate. I mean, one can only hope the upcoming Massachusetts senatorial debate will be held on the Maury Povich show so we could just hear, in the case of Elizabeth Warren, Mr. Sitting Bull, you are not the father. I mean, this is, it's going to be amazing. But that's one of the things we can look forward to. Elizabeth Warren being trolled by an actual Indian as she claims that she's a Native American. Now, that's one of the things we have to look at. We have to look at defeating them on every level. But internally, we also have to look at the fact that the GOP is not doing us any favors either. Ted Cruz should show that we cannot reform the GOP from within. We need a convention of states to make the reforms while the Democrat Party is imploding and the media is imploding. I'm Adrian Slade. Thanks for tuning in. Join us next week. We'll see you.